Hey Boo, this is Chapter 9, Part 2 of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. So they were getting ready for their Quidditch game. The day before the match, the winds reached howling point and the rain fell harder than ever. It was so dark inside the corridors and classrooms that extra torches and lanterns were lit. The Slytherin team was looking smug indeed, and none more so than Malfoy. "Ah, if only my arm was feeling a bit better," he sighed as the gale outside pounded the windows. Harry had no room in his head to worry about anything except the match tomorrow. Oliver Wood kept hurrying up to him between classes and giving him tips. The third time this happened, Wood talked for so long that Harry suddenly realized he was 10 minutes late for defense against the dark arts, and set off at a run with Wood shouting after him. "Oh, wait, how do you... Diggory's got a very fast swerve, Harry, so you might want to try looping him." Harry skidded to a halt outside the Defense Against the Dark Arts classroom, pulled the door open, and dashed inside. "Sorry I'm late, Professor Lupin. But it wasn't Professor Lupin who looked up at him from the teacher's desk. It was Snape. "This lesson began 10 minutes ago, Potter, so I think we'll make 10 points from Gryffindor. Sit down." But Harry didn't move. "Where's Professor Lupin?" he said. "He says he's feeling too ill to teach today," said Snape with a twisted smile. "I believe I told you to sit down." But Harry stayed where he was. "What's wrong with him?" Snape's black eyes glittered. "Nothing life-threatening," he said, looking as though he wished it were. If I have to ask you to sit down again, that'll be detention." Harry walked slowly to his seat and sat down. Snape looked around at the class. "As I was saying before Potter interrupted, Professor Lupin has not left any records of the topics you've covered so far." "Please, sir, we've done Bogarts, Red Caps, Kappas, and Grindylows," said Hermione quickly, "and we're just about to start..." "Be quiet," said Snape coldly. "I did not ask for information. I was merely commenting on Professor Lupin's lack of organization." "He's the best Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher we've ever had," said Dean Thomas boldly, and there was a murmur of agreement from the rest of the class. Snape looked more menacing than ever. "You are easily satisfied," he said. "Lupin is hardly overtaxing you. I would have expected first years to be able to deal with Red Caps and Grindylows. Today we shall discuss..." Harry watched him flick through the textbook to the very back chapter, which he must know they hadn't covered. "Werewolves," said Snape.
"But, sir," said Hermione, seemingly unable to restrain herself, "we're not supposed to do werewolves yet. We're supposed to start Hinky Pinks."
Wait, Hinky Punks? Okay, that's weird. Anyways.
"Miss Granger," said Snape, in a voice of deadly calm, "I was under the impression that I am teaching this lesson, not you. And I'm telling you all to turn now to page 394. He glanced around. "All of you, now." With many bitter sidelong looks and some sullen muttering, the class opened their books. "Which of you can tell me how we distinguish between the werewolf and the true wolf?" said Snape. Everyone sat in motionless silence. Everyone except Hermione, whose hand, as it so often did, had shot straight into the air. You know, this reminds me of, apparently, when I was, like, in first and second grade, I would do this. Which, of course, my classmates must have loved. But I would always sit there with my hand, like, straight up whenever the teacher asked a question. Of course, they wouldn't always call on me, but, yeah, I think teachers and students alike probably get really annoyed with me. So I stopped doing that and became really, really shy when I was, like, in third grade, and then never talked to anyone ever again. And that's my life story. Where were we? Okay. "Anyone?" said Snape, ignoring Hermione. His twisted smile was back. "Are you telling me that Professor Lupin hasn't even taught you the basic distinction between
We told you, said Parvati suddenly. We haven't got as far as werewolves yet. We're still on.
Silence, snarled Snape.
Well, well, well. I never thought I'd met a third-year class who wouldn't recognize a werewolf when they saw one.
I shall make a point of informing Professor Dumbledore how very behind you all are. Please, sir, said Hermione, whose hand was still in the air. The werewolf differs from the true wolf in several small ways. The snout of the werewolf. That is the second time you have spoken out of turn, Miss Granger, said Snape coolly. Please stop being an insufferable know-it-all. Hermione went very red, put down her hand, and stared at the floor with her eyes full of tears. It was a mark of how much the class loathed Snape that they were all glaring at him, because every one of them had called Hermione a know-it-all at least once, and Ron, who told Hermione she was a know-it-all at least twice a week, said loudly, "You ask the question and she knows the answer. Why ask if you don't want to be told?" The class knew instantly he'd gone too far. Snape advanced on Ron slowly, and the room held its breath. "Detention, Weasley," said Snape silkily, his face very close to Ron's. "And if I ever hear you criticize the way I teach a class again, you'll be very sorry indeed." No one made a sound throughout the rest of the class. They sat and made notes on werewolves from the textbook, while Snape prowled up and down the rows of desks, examining the work they'd been doing with Professor Lupin. "Very poorly explained. That is incorrect. The kappa is more commonly found in Mongolia. Professor Lupin gave this 8 out of 10. I wouldn't have given it 3. When the bell rang at last, Snape held them back. "You will each write an essay to be handed in to me on the ways you recognize and kill werewolves. I want 2 rolls of parchment on the subject, and I want them by Monday morning. It is time somebody took this class in hand. Weasley, stay behind. We need to arrange your detention." Harry and Hermione left the room with the rest of the class, who waited until they were well out of earshot and then burst into a furious tirade about Snape. "Snape's never been like this with any of our other Defense Against the Dark Arts teachers, even if he did want the job," Harry said to Hermione. "Why has he got it in for Lupin? Do you think this is all because of the Bogart?" "I don't know," said Hermione pensively, "but I really hope Professor Lupin gets better soon." Ron caught up with them 5 minutes later, in a towering rage. "Do you know what that..." And he called called Snape something that made Hermione say, "Ron!" "Is making me do? I've got to scrub the bedpans in the hospital wing. Without magic!" He was breathing deeply, his fists clenched. "Why couldn't Black have hidden in Snape's office, eh? Could have finished him off for us." Harry woke extremely early the next morning. So early that it was still dark. For a moment, he thought the roaring of the wind had woken him. Then he felt a cold breeze on the back of his neck and sat bolt upright. Peeves the poltergeist had been floating next to him, blowing hard in his ear. "What did you do that for?" said Harry furiously. Peeves puffed out his cheeks, blew hard, and zoomed backward out of the room, cackling. Harry fumbled for his alarm clock and looked at it. It was 4:30. Cursing Peeves, he rolled over and tried to get back to sleep, but it was very difficult now that he was awake to ignore the sound of thunder rumbling overhead, the pounding of the wind against the castle walls, and the distant creaking of the trees in the Forbidden Forest. In a few hours, he'd be out on the Quidditch field battling through that gale. Finally, he gave up any more thought of sleep, got up, dressed, picked up his Nimbus 2000, and walked quietly out of the dormitory. As Harry opened the door, something brushed against his leg. He bent down just in time to grab Crookshanks by the end of his bushy tail and drag him outside. "You know, I reckon Ron was right about you," Harry told Crookshanks suspiciously. "There are plenty of mice around this place. Go and chase them. Go on," he added, nudging Crookshanks down the spiral staircase with his foot. "Leave Scabbers alone." The noise of the storm was even louder than the common room. Was even louder in the common room. Harry knew better than to think the match would be cancelled. Quidditch matches weren't called off for trifles like thunderstorms. Nevertheless, he was starting to feel very apprehensive. Wood had pointed out Cedric Diggory to him in the corridor. Diggory was a fifth year and a lot bigger than Harry. Seekers were usually light and speedy, but Diggory's weight would be an advantage in this weather because he was less likely to be blown off course. Harry whiled away the hours until dawn in front of the fire, getting up every now and then to stop Crookshanks from sneaking up the boys' staircase again. At long last, Harry thought it must be time for breakfast, so he headed through the portrait hole alone. "Stand up and fight, you mangy cur!" yelled Sir Cadogan. "Oh, shut up," Harry yawned. He revived a bit over a large bowl of porridge, and by the time he'd started on toast, the rest of the team had turned up. "It's going to be a tough one," said Wood, who wasn't eating anything. "Stop worrying, Oliver," said Alicia soothingly. "We don't mind a bit of rain." But it was considerably more than a bit of rain. Such was the popularity of Quidditch that this whole school turned out to watch the match as usual, but they ran down the lawns toward the Quidditch field, heads bowed against the ferocious winds, umbrellas being whipped out of their hands as they went. Just before he entered the locker room, Harry saw Malfoy, Crabbe, and Goyle laughing and pointing at him from under an enormous umbrella on the way to the stadium. The team changed into their scarlet robes and waited for Wood's usual pre-match pep talk, but it didn't come. He tried several times to speak, made an odd gulping noise, then shook his head hopelessly and beckoned them to follow him. The wind was so strong that they staggered sideways as they walked out onto the field. If the crowd was cheering, they couldn't hear it over the fresh rolls of thunder. Rain was splattering over Harry's glasses. How on earth was he going to see the Snitch in this? The Hufflepuffs were approaching from the opposite side of the field, wearing canary yellow robes. The captains walked up to each other and shook hands. Diggory smiled at Wood, but Wood now looked as though he had lockjaw and merely nodded. Harry saw Madame Hooch's mouth form the words, "Mount your brooms." He pulled his right foot out of the mud with a squelch and swung it over his Nimbus 2000. Madame Hooch put her whistle to her lips and gave it a blast that sounded shrill and distant, and they were off. Harry rose fast, but his Nimbus was swerving slightly with the wind. He held it as steady as he could and turned, squinting into the rain. Within 5 minutes, Harry was soaked to his skin and frozen, hardly able to see his teammates, let alone the tiny Snitch. He flew backward and forward across the field, past blurred red and yellow shapes, with no idea what was happening the rest of the game. He couldn't hear the commentary over the wind. The crowd was hidden beneath a sea of cloaks and battered umbrellas. Twice, Harry came very close to being unseated by a bludger. His vision was so clouded by the rain on his glasses he hadn't seen them coming. He lost track of time. It was getting harder and harder to hold his broom straight. The sky was getting darker, as though night had decided to come early. Twice Harry nearly hit another player without knowing whether it was a teammate or opponent. Everyone was now so wet and the rain so thick, he could hardly tell them apart. With the first flash of lightning came the sound of Madame Hooch's whistle. Harry could just see the outline of Wood through the thick rain, gesturing him to the ground. The whole team splashed down into the mud. "I called for time out," Wood roared at his team. "Come on, under here." Sorry, that wasn't his accent. "Under here." I can't do it anymore. They huddled on the edge of the field under a large umbrella. Harry took off his glasses and wiped them hurriedly on his robes. "What's the score?" "We're up 50 points, said Wood. "But unless we get the Snitch soon, we'll be playing into the night." "I've got no chance with these on," Harry said exasperatedly, waving his glasses. At that very moment, Hermione appeared at his shoulder. She was holding her cloak over her head and was, inexplicably, beaming. "I've got an idea, Harry. Give me your glasses, quick." He handed them to her, and as the team watched in amazement, Hermione tapped them with her wand and said, "Impervious." "There," she said, handing them back to Harry. "They'll repel water." Wood looked as though he could have kissed her. Oh, yeah. 18-year-old Wood. 13-year-old Hermione. "Brilliant," he called hoarsely after her as she disappeared into the crowd. "Okay, team, let's go for it."
Hermione's spell had done the trick. Harry was still numb with cold, still wetter than he'd ever been in his life, but he could see. Full of fresh determination, he urged his room through the turbulent air, staring in every direction for the snitch, avoiding a bludger, ducking beneath Diggory, who was streaking in the opposite direction. There was another clap of thunder, followed immediately by forked lightning. This was getting more and more dangerous. Harry needed to get the snitch quickly. He turned, He turned, intending to head back toward the middle of the field, but at that moment, another flash of lightning illuminated the stands, and Harry saw something that completely distracted him. The silhouette of an enormous shaggy black dog, clearly imprinted against the sky, motionless in the topmost empty row of seats. Harry's numb hand slipped on the broom handle, and his nimbus dropped a few feet. Shaking his soggy bangs out of his eyes, he squinted back into the stands. The dog had vanished. "Harry!" came Wood's anguished cry from the Gryffindor goalpost. "Harry, behind you!" Harry looked wildly around. Cedric Diggory was pelting up the field. A tiny speck of gold was shimmering in the rain-filled air between them. With a jolt of panic, Harry threw himself flat to the broom handle and zoomed toward the snitch. "Come on," he growled at the nimbus as the rain whipped his face. "Faster!" But something odd was happening. An eerie silence was falling across the stadium. The wind, though as strong as ever, was forgetting to roar. It was as though somebody had turned off the sound, as though Harry had gone suddenly deaf. What was going on? And then a horrible, familiar wave of cold swept over him, inside him. "Oh, you're calling. Hold on one second. We will continue. Then a horrible wave of cold swept over him, inside him, just as he became aware of something moving on the field below. Before he'd had time to think, Harry had taken his eyes off the snitch and looked down. At least 100 Dementors, their hidden faces pointing up at him, were standing beneath him. It was as though freezing water were rising in his chest, cutting at his insides. And then he heard it again. Someone was screaming, inside his head. A woman. "Not Harry, not Harry. Please, not Harry." "Stand aside, you silly girl. Stand aside now." "Not Harry, please, no. Take me, kill me instead." Numbing, swirling white mist was filling Harry's brain. What was he doing? Why was he flying? He needed to help her. She was going to die. She was going to be murdered. He was falling through the icy mist. "Not Harry, please, have mercy, have mercy." A shrill voice was laughing, the woman was screaming, and Harry knew no more. Lucky the ground was so soft. I thought he was dead for sure. But he didn't even break his glasses. Harry could hear the voices whispering, but they made no sense whatsoever. He didn't have a clue where he was, or how he'd gotten there, or what he'd been doing before he got there. All he knew was that every inch of him was aching as though it had been beaten. "It's the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life." Scariest. The scariest thing. Hooded black figures. Cold screaming. Harry's eyes snapped open. He was lying in the hospital wing. The Gryffindor Quidditch team, spattered with mud from head to foot, was gathered around his bed. Ron and Hermione were also there, looking as though they'd just climbed out of a swimming pool. "Harry," said Fred, who was looking extremely white underneath the mud. "How are you feeling?" It was as though Harry's memory was on fast forward. The lightning, the grim, the snitch, and the Dementors. "What happened?" he said, sitting suddenly up, so suddenly that they all gasped. "You fell off," said Fred. "Must have been, what, 50 feet? "We thought you died," said Alicia, who was shaking. Hermione made a small squeaky noise. Her eyes were extremely bloodshot. "But the match," said Harry. "What happened? Are we doing a replay?" No one said anything. The horrible truth sank into Harry like a stone. "We didn't lose." "Diggory got the snitch," said George, "just after you fell. He didn't realize what had happened. When he looked back and saw you on the ground, he tried to call it off. Wanted a rematch, but they won fair and square. Even Wood admits it." "Where is Wood?" said Harry, suddenly realizing he wasn't there. "Still in the showers," said Fred. "We think he's trying to drown himself." Harry put his face back to his knees, his hand gripping his hair. Fred grabbed his shoulder and shook it roughly. "Come on, Harry, you've never missed the snitch before." "There had to be one time you didn't get it," said George. "It's not over yet," said Fred. "We lost by 100 points, right? So if Hufflepuff loses to Ravenclaw, and Ravenclaw and Slytherin..." I like how they're already, like, planning this out, even though this was the first game of the season. It's weird that, like, I guess there aren't enough games that you can't, like, lose one game or something. It's very weird. "Hufflepuff will have to lose by at least 200 points," said George. "But if they beat Ravenclaw..." "No way, Ravenclaw is too good. But if Slytherin loses against Hufflepuff..." "It all depends on the points. A margin of 100 either way." This is very weird. Anyways, what do they play, like, one game against each team? So they play three games and that's it? It's bizarre. Harry lay there, not saying a word. They had lost. For the first time ever, he had lost a Quidditch match. After 10 minutes or so, Madame Pomfrey came over to tell the team to leave him in peace. "We'll come and see you later," Fred told him. "Don't beat yourself up, Harry. You're still the best seeker we've ever had." The team trooped out, trailing mud behind them. Madame Pomfrey shut the door behind them, looking disapprovingly. Ron and Hermione moved nearer to Harry's bed. "Dumbledore was really angry," said Hermione in a quaking voice. "I've never seen him like that. He ran onto the field as you fell, waved his wand, and you sort of slowed down before you hit the ground. Then he whirled his wand at the Dementors, shot silver stuff at them. They left the stadium right away. He was furious they'd come onto the grounds. We heard him." "They magicked you onto a stretcher," said Ron, "and walked up to the school with you floating on it. Everyone thought you were..." His voice faded, but Harry hardly noticed. He was thinking about what the Dementors had done to him, about the screaming voice. He looked up and saw Ron and Hermione looking at him so anxiously that he quickly cast around for something matter-of-fact to say. "Did someone get my Nimbus?" Ron and Hermione looked quickly at each other. "What?" said Harry, looking from one to the other. "Well, when you fell off, it got blown away," said Hermione hesitantly.
"And?"
"And it hit, oh Harry, it hit the Whomping Willow." Harry's inside lurched. The Whomping Willow was a very violent tree that stood alone in the middle of the grounds. "And?" he said, dreading the answer. "And you know the Whomping Willow," said Ron. "It doesn't like being hit." "Professor Flitwick brought it back just before you came round," said Hermione in a very small voice. Slowly, she reached down for a bag at her feet, turned it upside down, and tipped a dozen bits of splintered wood and twig onto the bed, the only remains of Harry's faithful, finely beaten broomstick. And that's the end of Chapter 9. But Chapter 10 is called The Marauder's Map, and I think that gets kind of fun. So I hope you liked that, my kitty. I'm going to call you now. I can't wait to see you, because you're coming tomorrow. I love you so much. You're my kitty. My sweet girl. Sleep well, boo. Good night.